Good day and welcome to another episode of Business World's B-Side, our weekly podcast. I'm Gino Nicolas, Head of Digital for Business World, and with me today is Patricia Marisol, Multimedia Producer of Business World.
Hello everyone, and hi Gino.
For this episode, we're in partnership with IBM Philippines. We will explore an interesting application of artificial intelligence. Well, you know, ever since applications such as Midjourney have been accessible to the public, AI is all the rage these days.
Yes, I agree with that. AI usage seems to be very prevalent. I mean, if you're out of ideas for written outputs, for example, what you can do is turn to AI for an outline. Or if you need to improve your photos or upscale your videos, what you can do is type your idea to an AI platform and let the tech do the rest.
Everywhere, I mean, you could easily download AI apps on your phone. AI usage seems widely used right now. There are a lot of fears and concerns and misconceptions surrounding the technology. AI is increasingly appreciated as a tool that can positively impact businesses. The World Economic Forum, I think last month or something, has published an opinion that generative AI, where its capability to distribute productivity gains across social sectors, can be society's new equalizer, as they say. For example, with Gen AI's ability to expand our knowledge, skills, and productivity, it can equally benefit both less skilled and highly skilled workers, they say.
That's actually a very intriguing prospect. So if Gen AI is seen as society's new equalizer, then how can it deal with gender equality in the workplace? That is what the IBM Institute for Business Value tackled in its Women in Leadership study. One finding the 2024 study reported was the once-in-a-career opportunity that women had to gain equal footing. And that's thanks to Gen AI's potential to, number one, disrupt workflows, and number two, compel organization-wide transformation.
Yeah, so let's uncover these unique opportunities of Gen AI with Ms. Christine Llanto-Ravelo. She is currently the Commercial Territory Sales Leader of IBM Philippines. She drives IBM's technology strategy of hybrid cloud and AI in her territory. She is focused around positioning the value of IBM's technology portfolio and enabling clients' priorities and translating their needs. Welcome to Business World's B-Side, and thanks for joining us.
Good morning. Thank you for having me. Morning, Gino and Patricia.
I guess it's better for us to actually address this common misconception. Like, for those who are not familiar with generative AI, can you explain what it is? I mean, compared to popular media, we've been familiar with movies and comic books that we think about AI. It's like The Matrix and Keanu Reeves is going to just swoop in and save us from it and stuff like that. So what is generative AI?
All right. So maybe I start with just talking about, it's a type of artificial intelligence for sure. No. So artificial intelligence is really, it's designed to kind of mimic how a human thinks, how to reason, analyze, generate ideas. No, so generative AI, as opposed to traditional AI, traditional AI looks at different types of data, analyzes it, looks for patterns, and then shows you what it's summarized. Generative AI is a step further in such that it can generate new insights and new contents from the patterns that it has been trained on, or the data it has been trained on. So it's opened up a lot of possibilities. You're right about, the things that we see in movies can be that, but, it's a lot. It basically, what AI can do is up to the imagination of the person training the data on. No? So, but we have to bring it down in the business context. What is it that it can really do to actually aid in giving competitive advantage or help companies leapfrog their competitors? So, and there are a lot of use cases that can actually show how this can be done in the real world context.
Basically, it's still just query-based from the user, right? I mean, we have to still ask it to do something for us, and then generative AI does it for us.
It's like you have to prompt it certain ways of asking things in order for it to generate from the patterns and the things, the words, the images that it has already been trained on. No, so it has to be, it cannot generate things it has not been trained on. So what's important is that, and maybe we can discuss it a little bit more later on, how are our AI models trained? what data does it use and all these things.
Talking more about bringing it down to the business context, can you also share with us how Philippine businesses have been adopting or investing in Gen AI based on your studies or your experience with businesses here?
My experience, I've been talking to clients every day, basically. It's top of mind right now. Gone are the days wherein when they say AI, it's just reserved for technology savvy CEOs or, you know, CMOs. Right now, it's a boardroom kind of discussion, right? Our customers are being asked, our IT folks are being asked, what are we doing in as regards using AI in our company? What is AI exactly? And, you know, so we've been having all these conversations locally in the Philippines, and we do have customers already piloting various use cases on AI. It spans from different domains, HR, finance, sales and marketing, customer service, supply chain, research, even across different industries. So we have customers using it in the financial services industry, FMCG, what else? Insurance, banking, insurance and banking customers. And various pilots are now being done. In fact, we actually have a client, a local client, PJ Luvillier, who's the company behind Cebuana Luvillier, who started making use of their data and using Gen AI to help them understand what their client trends are, how do they make use of this data to better their customer service. So they're already in pilot. We're working with them in, you know, getting that into mainstream production. So there are various companies locally who's already on the same path, and it's really more of who's going to get there first, who's actually going to get, show their board that we've increased XX by this much or decreased, for example, product development cycle by this much because of the AI that we've already started using.
What you're saying is generative AI could help businesses by, you know, analyzing trends and user behavior or customer behavior as they would. I mean, I could imagine just going through lots of paperwork just to get something out of everything. But if you have something like generative AI, it could automate the process for you.
Correct. So usually Gen AI is used to summarize large types of data, different types of data, whether when we say structured, those are the ones in tables, right? Unstructured will be the ones that, for example, images or information from social media. If a person does, you know, analysis based on so much sources of data, how many hours or days or even weeks would that person take in order to get something summarized or insights out of it? So Gen AI basically helps in speeding up that process so that professionals can get to the decisions or the insights faster. That's one use case. So another one is automating things that are mundane or boring for other people. A lot of people just bring it down to the personal level, right? So it's all about productivity. So if you can use Gen AI to be like your assistant, for example, you know, doing things such as, can you just fix my calendar for me? What's the most optimum time for me to actually learn versus get on meetings or whatever other things? So automating mundane tasks, getting you to be more productive, helping you with complex tasks, such as summarizing vast amounts of data. So those are examples that, you know, across industries, across types of professionals, Gen AI can be used.
Yeah, I could imagine businesses that have been operating for so many years, like what you said, Cebuana Luvillier. I mean, they probably have so much data that they can't really just, you know, skim through and be able to come up with an analysis in a matter of days. They'll probably take months to do that. But by the time they finish that, they have a new set of data anyway. And then, you know, but yeah, I could see how generative AI could help with that.
By the way, do you foresee all Philippine businesses, regardless of size, adopting Gen AI in the future?
I would say AI basically gives us a level playing field. You don't have to be a large company with access to or resources to have large data warehouses in order for you to leverage on AI. So it can be used by any company, regardless of size, regardless of industry, as mentioned earlier. It's really a matter of what use case or what business problem do you want to allow AI to help solve. So it's a in it being a level playing field, you don't have to be a multinational company, for example, in order to leverage on it. And, you know, putting it in the business, in the Philippines business context, you can be a local company like our customer, PJ Louvillier or Cebuana Louvillier, not traditionally seen as a, you know, tech kind of company, right? But they can use AI in order to forward their business. So to answer your question, yes, that can be a possibility. And we cannot run away from AI, I think. We have to see and understand what it is so that we can use it to our advantage instead of allowing it to happen to us.
So going back to where the World Economic Forum said that, you know, AI could be society's great equalizer, I understand the Institute for Business Values recently released its Women in Leadership study, which puts focus on generative AI. Why was it found necessary to determine gender disparities through AI?
Well, IBV, like the group that you mentioned that's under IBM, we've always been doing research specifically on diversity and specifically in women. So we've been doing it for years. So this time around, we came out with what's women in, basically women in AI. We interviewed a number of professionals in the field, both users of AI that are training the AI and those that are using the AI to propel them in the company, right? One of the things we thought about was that because AI is a great equalizer, and as we know, women is still the minority, especially in leadership positions. In fact, it's still a persistent problem, not so much a problem, maybe a challenge, that there is a gap still in terms of leadership pipeline for women. No, so studies always are saying, and it's been confirmed in this particular one that came out, that the gender diversity is not only the right thing to do, but the smart thing to do. And why is that? You know, so they're seeing that more and more that organizations with women in leadership positions can drive higher growth, can have more diversity, can have better employee retention. Now, I'm not going to talk about why is that, but that's what the study is showing. So bringing it back to the topic today, which is AI, we want to be able to show that there's still a disparity. And what can AI do in order to help bridge that gap more and more? You know? So as mentioned, since AI is a playing field, what then can women right now do in order to use AI as something that will propel them forward in their career and thereby increasing more leadership positions where women are actually at the forefront? No? So that's basically the objective of the study, really showing that there's still a gap and what can AI do. And it's fascinating what we've been seeing across industries and across countries where we did the survey and interviews.
You mentioned gender disparity. What kinds of gender disparity exists in AI?
So one of the things that we found out is that many women still see Gen AI as something that's happening to them and it's not something that works for them. So there's always this uncertainty that I'm going to stay on the sidelines, wait for my company to allow me to use AI and make sure that, you know, the security is in place. I can be confident that AI can be trusted. So that versus when they surveyed men, wherein they're more risk takers. I mean, that's the common misconception. They're more risk takers and they want to be able to see what AI can do for them, especially in terms of productivity. So what we're saying is that women, they have this once in a lifetime in terms of their career, an opportunity to make use of AI as something that will bridge the gap. And how is that? Women are traditionally strong in the areas of customer service and marketing, for example. And AI has been very much used, I would say, in those areas. So if you're a woman, if you want to go into a leadership, senior leadership position, understand AI and how it actually applies in your particular expertise, for example, it's customer service, going through customer insights and all those things, and have the confidence to actually say that this is what AI can do and how can we actually leverage on this to gain even more competitive advantage. So basically use AI to help in putting more things on the table and claim it as something that actually is from them as a woman. You have to be more proactive and bold. I would say bold because it's almost like land grabbing, as you can imagine, right? Whoever gets there first gets the mind share, whether of the board of directors, the leadership team, and whoever can show results, of course, will get, you know, a foothold in the leadership positions available.
Yeah, I could see the value nga, considering that marketing and sales, that really comes with a lot of analysis with what your target market is, you know, looking for, especially for particular products and services. And I would think generative AI would be very helpful to actually streamline or make the process faster. The study also highlights that as Gen AI disrupts workflows and demands organization-wide transformation, women have a once-in-a-career opportunity to gain equal footing. Can you expand on that, what these opportunities are, especially in terms of better informing women about AI and enhancing its capabilities?
One side is the actual using, like articulating what's the business case or the use case that where AI can be applied. For example, customer service, sales, and marketing. That's one side. The other side is women have the opportunity, and I mentioned earlier that Gen AI can only generate things based on data that it's been trained on. So the other side of where women can have the opportunity to influence where AI is going is actually being more proactive in training the AI models. It's very important. Why is that? Because things like bias, things like diversity, women have to be well represented in training AI models such that, and you know, humans are humans, right? We're inherently biased. So if we're able to make sure that there's a diverse team of people from different points of view, different backgrounds, different genders, training AI for specific things, then we are more confident and we can trust the AI output more because it's being trained on things that are not, well, less biased and also have diversified views. So that's the second thing. Using the AI for a specific use case and, you know, pushing the agenda with that. The second one is being more proactive in training AI models to make sure that there's less bias, there's diversity. And of course, and, you know, I would say women are a little bit more aware of this, you know, the ethical side of AI, right? Is it fair? Does it make use of bad language? All these things, you know? So those are the things that women can be more proactive in making sure that they are well represented in those areas.
I'm just wondering, what can happen if women don't grab this once-in-a-career opportunity, if they don't leverage AI, Gen AI, as you said?
Taking off from that, if you don't represent women in the training of the AI, then it will definitely increase the gap. As mentioned, so AI is going to be pervasive. There's no running away from it. We cannot ignore it. It's going to happen. So as more and more things are being AI infused or AI assisted, if the models that are going to be used will not be represented well with, you know, views from women, then things like the leadership gap will only become larger. Opportunities might also not be as diverse or as available for women if we don't take part in creating and influencing it as it grows.
And can I ask a question about ethics? Because you did mention ethical considerations in the use of AI. Does IBM have any like ethical guidelines within its company on the use of AI?
Definitely, yes. That's one of the things that we very much have a strong point of view on. AI has to be trusted, first and foremost. Whoever is using the AI or came out with a model that uses it, or a model that will be used to create or make decisions. So our point of view as IBM is that AI should be trusted, explainable. Whoever created it has to be accountable. Your platform has to be robust enough in order for it to understand different types of data. The second one is AI should be empowering, right? It's not supposed to replace human intelligence. It's supposed to augment human intelligence. So it's supposed to empower customers. It's supposed to empower you. As a user of AI. The third is AI has to be open. So it has to be based on things that you can access the innovation and the open community so that you can make use of multiple AI models in order to enrich it. And lastly, because for us in IBM, we are advocates of AI for business. No? So we're very targeted in specific business use case, not so much consumer, but use case for the business that help, you know, unlock new values for the companies at, of course, at optimal cost, which is very important to the business.
So ethics, kasi when we think about it in the media sense, yun yung challenge for us. Eh. Well, whenever, whatever we have AI generate for Esquire, we ask it to summarize a particular issue. We need to vet the information that it gets. So I guess, yeah, coming from your point, I guess it is very important to actually be able to train the AI or to actually provide it with enough information so that the output that it generates is actually what we need, and it's verifiably so.
It's a question of, like what you said, right? Verifiable source. What did you use to train the data on? Who owns the data? Very important. Who made use of, can we actually make use of the data it's trained on? How new is the data or how dated is it? Very important, all those things, because as you said, right, that's one of the biggest hurdles of AI being widely used, right? People are not yet sure, and you know, specifically companies are not sure if they can trust the AI output. But if you're able to explain and you're able to say that these are the accountabilities of the AI project, this is where we modeled it on, this is the data that we used, when an output is driven, what are the sources, then it increases the why. Why is it that the output is such? So that's very, very important.
How else can AI further support and empower women in the workforce?
I suppose at the end of the day, it's really more of, it's a tool for you to have a conversation to say, I have something that will help the company. Having that confidence that this is something new, this is something that, you know, no one is exactly, is ahead of the curve, right? So whoever gets there and be able to articulate the value of this shiny new tool will be far ahead. So I encourage women to be able to make use of this tool, make use of this technology. It will definitely understand where it is relevant in your field of expertise. And it doesn't come with very clear instructions. So everyone is learning. So, you know, having the mindset of experimentation, taking informed risks, all these things can really help women further their careers.
I think that's the usual thing that people forget, that, you know, AI is actually a tool, and it's not, it's not something that's going to, you know, do your job for you. It's just something that makes your job easier.
Of course, when we talk to clients, the first question is it going to replace my job? That's usually, you know, machines versus man. So it's a tool to augment human intelligence. So the mindset should be, I'm not going to be replaced by AI, but I will be replaced by a person using AI. So it's really that, you know, embrace that concept, because it's your friend. But you have to understand your friend in order for you to understand how you can work well together.
Yeah, coming from that, I mean, if women are to embrace generative AI, what should their first steps be? I mean, are there particular skills that they should have before going into it or something?
I'm thinking of three things. Well, first is really to understand what it is, to understand how it's already being used in, you know, in your area. There are, of course, when you just, you know, search on the web, there are a lot of materials on, you know, AI for Dummies and all these things, right? But specifically for IBM, at least, we have what we call the IBM Skills Build. And there are parang courses for AI fundamentals that anyone can use, whether you have a background on technology or not. So that's the first, really understanding what this technology is about. It's not reserved for people who are in tech. Anyone can actually understand what it is. The second one is that find mentors and sponsors that can help you push experimentation forward. So once you understand your friend, how it can help you, find whether, you know, and, you know, just going back to this gender gap or disparity in leadership, no? So find allies, whether they are, you know, women leaders as well as or men already in leadership position, find allies that can help support you in your experimentation with this new technology. And maybe the third is that play around with the technology, find like-minded people who are willing to take risks, you know, have an open, you know, a growth mindset to see, okay, how can a certain thing be changed, whether in terms of the process, in terms of creating new things. Find people who are like-minded, you know, but, you know, get them together, maybe play around with a specific AI tool, get familiar and comfortable with it. So those three things.
Interesting that you mentioned that. You don't have to be a techie. I think that's one of the biggest misconceptions about using AI. I mean, if we think about it, the people behind AI or generative AI already developed it in such a user-friendly way that you don't really have to be a techie. I mean, we're seeing mobile phones now with AI that, you know, and one advertisement was, you know, if you need to call someone in a different language, it automatically translates what you say.
Use natural language. You ask a question like you will ask a person, not in a technical or way. But, you know, also going back to how it is in the business, in you know, how it is in AI for business, if I'm a person who works for a particular company and I use business jargon, my AI in the company should understand that when I say president, I mean president of my company, not president of the Philippines, for example. So there are specific jargons the AI should be trained that's very targeted to your company or use case. So that's very important. It's fun to play around with it for sure, but it's different when it's in the business setting. And you're answerable to your stakeholders, you're answerable to your customers, to regulatory boards, all these things. So that's very, very important.
Yeah, I just want to mention what you said about finding allies. If you're a woman leader, then you definitely need to also find male allies because there are more male than female allies, especially as you go up the corporate ladder. So of course, actually men also play a role in narrowing the gender gap because there are more of them in the C-suite.
Definitely, I totally agree.
Okay, so let's talk about problematic and biased outputs in AI, because this was also one of the assessments of the 2024 IBM study that we're talking about. It says mm-hmm. that women can flag problematic and biased outputs as well as fill in the gender gap by interacting sooner with AI. So can you tell me more about the type of problematic outputs that women can possibly flag?
For example, credit scoring. If the AI is trained on very limited gender roles, such as a male head of the family with a specific background, so it will only approve, you know, applications that cater to that kind of segment. But what about underrepresented profiles, such as if you're a woman, for example, a single mother with this kind of profile, if the AI was not trained to be able to cater to this kind of profile, then the output will not generate a diverse or more fair scoring. So that's one example. Another example is recruitment. For example, if you use AI to go through thousands of CVs, but you only train them to look at specific profile again, for example, you know, biased roles such as an engineering role is normally biased towards men. So if you're able to use AI and train AI such that it's represented by, of course, profiles with women engineers, for example, then it won't automatically take out possible or even, you know, possible candidates or even better candidates just because they're women. So making sure that women, if you because your point of view is different from it is, you know, compared to men, right? When you train your AI model, make sure that you bring those on the table. That what about this? What about, you know, the women way of thinking that we're a little bit more detailed oriented, for example? So what about these details? How is that going to, what kind of source, data sources should we include when we train the model? Because the more diverse, and it's not reserved for just women, the more diverse the team of people training the AI, the better.
So the more diverse the team, the more nuanced the outputs would become.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. It would only enrich the AI output.
It's a funny thing. You mentioned earlier about, you know, people having biases. And I guess if you do actually train the AI with enough data or information to actually analyze, like for instance, your example of, you know, different candidates for a particular job, like an engineer, which is, I guess, in a lot of ways, more identified with men. Kaya lang yun nga, if we're just going with that bias, sayang nga naman yung ano, the other candidates that are women that are more qualified or even more experienced than the men. I mean, this is just a personal story, okay? One example for me was when I was trying to buy a car, and you know, you have to get the car loan approved, and it was between me and my wife. They kept on looking at me to say that you're the one who's supposed to pass the application. And then I actually told him, you know what, my wife actually earns more than me. Maybe you should ask her to. But yeah, that's the thing about biases, eh, diba? So I could see how AI doing the analysis in such a an unbiased way, with just looking at information and data, and it could make that recommendation for businesses.
Correct, correct. Maybe I should also add that it's a mystery how AI models are trained, but there are actually tools that can help put parang guardrails against biases, such that, so in IBM, we call it the watsonx.governance, wherein you just make sure that, you know, number one, the models have to be refreshed every so often, right? What we feed the data today may not be relevant 6 months from now, for example. So there are tools that help the people who are training the AI to make sure that their models are fresh. You know, there are guardrails in order to protect them from biases. So the third thing is that, and I mentioned earlier, what are the sources of data where you pull in order to, you know, train your AI model? So there are tools also to help manage that for the company. Is someone else owning the data? Are you allowed to own the data? Is the data clean before you ingest it? So those are the things that's important, especially if you are answerable to your stakeholders. You should be able to explain that very well.
For our last question, I mean, how do you envision a working environment where gender disparity is actually addressed by generative AI? I mean, how much better would it be for women, and how closer would they be to leadership roles?
I envision an environment wherein AI is very well used, no? So I can imagine, and it's very near the future. I don't think it's parang in some faraway decades from now. It's going to be very soon, wherein you actually have an assistant who will take away mundane, boring stuff for you, so I can focus more on making decisions, thinking creatively, you know, being bold and thinking about ways to make things better for my own personal area or business unit, right? If I'm a woman, making use of this assistant, then probably by tomorrow, I have something already, a proposal to make things better, and I can already submit that to the board of directors. Versus a person who doesn't make use of AI, it will take maybe 2 weeks in order for get to get the same output because I'm just bogged down by details, you know, things that normally will take weeks for me to analyze. Even the presentation that I will make, if it's AI assisted, it will probably take hours for me to do that. But, you know, with the use of AI, so make use of that AI so that I can be first in showing, okay, this is what we can do. I can bring my business unit this way, and I can certainly make a difference. So that's how I envision it. And more women hopefully can take that bold step and make AI as their tool to kind of help them towards that path.
Seems to me that AI is like, you know, like a Swiss knife that you can use for many other of many functions. So
it's like parang your elixir to be a superhero if you allow it to be, yeah.
And I could imagine, you know, if you are able to utilize generative AI as a tool to help you with your work, I would think that it would help then, well, actually everyone, to be able to perform tasks outside of work as well. Because we always have that problem that we need to work, but at the same time, you're worried about something at home or something, or you need to pick up your kid from school, but you have this meeting that you can't miss or something like that. So I guess, in a lot of ways, if you could simplify or automate some processes of what you do through generative AI, it actually, I would guess it would actually contribute to work-life balance as well.
Yes, it can. It boils down to productivity. Diba? People would say that productivity is overly used, but essentially that's what it is, right? What can I do to make the most out of my hour, right? What are the things that I can outsource to somebody or an assistant such that I can focus on the more pleasurable things that can give me more fulfillment, you know? So that's what we hope that AI can do.
Yes, they say all work and no play, it's, you know.
Yes, correct, correct.
That's something I definitely vote for.
Especially us in the media, I mean, you know.
As simple as, for example, and of course, I'm being biased here, like, but, you know, usually at home, right? On your way home, you always think about, what do I have to cook for dinner, right? But what do I have in the ref, right? So imagine if you have an AI assistant will tell you, okay, you have half a kilo of chicken and maybe some ketchup and some whatever. What kind of food can I cook in 30 minutes? If you're lucky enough, you have a cook at home and can actually do that. But, you know, not everyone has that kind of luxury. But if an assistant can actually help you, okay, put this all these things together, it's going to come out with a good, you know, recipe that more often than not will, you know, will be good in terms of taste, in terms of health benefits, then that's one less thing I have to think about.
Which actually applies then to businesses. I mean, much like if you're going to formulate a business proposal, it's basically just you have to think about all the ingredients that you have to put in so that it's very pleasing or attractive to the people that you're presenting it to. So I guess it's just, you know, generative AI is a holistic solution to or rather a holistic tool to actually help us live our lives in a way.
Yeah, the imagination is the limit, basically.
Maybe there's something you wish to add?
I suppose I'd like to end with really encouraging specifically women, because Women's Month and all. I'll end with what may be scary at first is something that you just need to understand in order for you to see the possibilities, right? So go at it with a lot of confidence, take risks and be bold. So that's really something. And AI is there as a tool to really help you move things forward and get you that advantage that you need in order to get into leadership positions now or, you know, in the future.
So then, once again, thank you for taking this time to share your insights with us today. I mean, it was very informative. I would think that through this conversation, especially if we keep on emphasizing that AI is actually a tool, maybe we could remind people that, you know, this isn't like the movies or comic books, that, you know, it's not sentient beings we're handling or robots automating things. It's generative AI is a tool for us to use and enrich our own professional and even our personal lives.
That's right. That's right. And we will wield the tool responsibly.
For more insightful discussions from Business World, follow Business World's B-Side podcast on Spotify and be updated on the latest updates.
Yeah, follow Business World on all our social media pages to be updated on our latest content. So again, this is me, Gino Nicolas, with Patricia Marisol, and this has been a very special edition of Business World B-Side, which is in partnership with IBM Philippines. Thank you for listening.